The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The shepherds went in haste to Bethlehem and found Mary and Joseph and the infant lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known the message that had been told them about this child. All who heard it were amazed by what had been told them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. When 8 days were completed for his circumcision, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. The Gospel of the Lord. Good, and once again, good evening, brothers and sisters. And happy almost new year to everybody. Now, I usually do not use sports analogies in homilies, right? That's for Father Barnes. I guess you've noticed, right? But tonight it's helpful. Tonight it's helpful. Next time you watch a big game, right? Especially a big home game at a big home stadium, take note of the behavior of the home crowd fans. And notice this. They don't just watch the game. They impact the game. They're not just spectators. They're participants. And this is especially true at the college level. So once upon a time, I was watching this game. And try to imagine this. Imagine a home stadium and 100,000 plus screaming, crazed college fans all jammed into this stadium for a night game. All of them wearing white t-shirts. All of them waving white towels over their heads, jumping up and down and chanting. Let me tell you, it was electrifying. I mean, I saw this, I thought to myself, you talk about a home field advantage. It was absolutely mesmerizing. Those people weren't spectators. They were participants, inspiring the people on the field, the players, to do things that they could not otherwise do. Now, the reason why I mention that is because what the home crowd fans are to the players on the field is sort of like what the saints in heaven are to us here on earth. They are not spectators, ladies and gentlemen. They're participants. They don't just watch your life. They impact your life. And you want to know how? They do it by their prayers. Do not ever underestimate the power of the prayers of the saints. They empower you to do things that you could not otherwise do. And if that's true for the saints in general, let me tell you something. It's especially true for the Blessed Virgin Mary in particular. And so I say this on this, her feast day, the feast of Mary, the Mother of God. It's the 8th day of the octave of Christmas, and you might already know the octave of Christmas. It's this 8-day-long celebration in which every single day we celebrate it just like it's Christmas Day. Okay, and we come now to the end of the 8th day of the octave. And once upon a time, somebody asked me, they said, you know, you got the Christian calendar and the Christian years counting the time since Christ's birth. Why didn't they just make New Year's Day and Christmas Day the same day? And you want to know something? Actually, they did. Because every single day this week, we celebrate it just like it's Christmas Day. And today, on the last day of that octave, we don't just celebrate the child who was born. We celebrate the mother who gave him life, the feast of Mary, the Mother of God. And one single little point that I'd ask you to keep in mind this day and all this new year which we're about to begin. Nobody but nobody impacts your life more than the Blessed Virgin Mary does. Nobody? Yeah, you heard me right. Nobody. Blessed Virgin Mary is not just one more saint. Now, I know a lot of people, they accuse Catholics of being idolatrous and worshiping Mary. Don't get me wrong. She's a human being just like you and me. But she was unique. utterly unique and unrepeatable. Unique in God's plan. Unique the role she's playing in the life of Jesus. And you want to know what else? Unique the role she's going to play in your life. Nobody impacts your life more. And the closer you draw to her, I'm telling you, the more she can do. Somebody once said to me, I don't need Mary and I don't need the saints because I just go straight to God. You know what's interesting about that statement? It's that God definitely does not go straight to you. Ever since St. Paul got knocked off his horse, I can't think of one single time in which God personally revealed himself like that in fullness to anybody. We all learn about God through others, don't we? Of course. Maybe it was your parents. Maybe it was your priest. Nobody learns about God in a blast of a revelation. And God, in his own plan, brought Jesus into this world through her. And did you know, it's the teaching of our church, that all graces flow through her. That's why I say nobody impacts her life more. All graces flow through her. She's the channel. She's the key. Image for you. Imagine this. Imagine, if you would, a treasure of gold coins, but they're locked up. They're locked up in the most impenetrable, solid steel safe you can possibly imagine. And one and only one key in all the world is going to open up that safe. Well, if the treasure is your salvation in Christ, the key is Mary. Yeah, I know the key is nothing compared with the treasure, but here's the deal. No key, no treasure. God asked her permission to be born. And if she'd said no, the deal would have been off. Thank God she said yes. As soon as she said yes, everything else is going to happen. You know, the fathers of the church, they used to say, if it wasn't for the Son of the Father, there would have been no creation. And if it wasn't for the Son of Mary the Mother, there would have been no redemption. That's why next to God, the one person we honor most is her. What's she do for you? What does she do for you? Well, she does for you spiritually everything that she did for Jesus in his life. Did she give Jesus life? Yes, of course. And spiritual life from God comes to you through her too. But mom's job description is a lot bigger than just giving life. Yes, yes, or yes, yes. Mother does cares, nurtures, protects, sustains, binds up wounds. Mary does all of that for you all your whole life long. You know, somebody once said to Mother Teresa of Calcutta, "Mother, you know, where are we going to look to see God's face when you're no longer with us? So many people out there see the face of God in you. But when you're gone, where are we going to look to find God in this world?" And Mother Teresa answered, "You're going to look the same place you've always looked. You're going to find him at the crib, and you're going to find him at the cross. Two places God reveals himself most perfectly in all the Bible, at the crib and at the cross." Now, what do you notice in both places? What do you notice in both places? Blessed Mother Mary right there by his side. What does Mary do for Jesus at the crib? We got the newborn baby Jesus, absolutely vulnerable, tiny little infant body, just as vulnerable, just as helpless as any infant he made himself. And Mary protects, nurtures, feeds, nourishes, sustains. And does she do that for you? Yes. Now, what in your life, ask yourself this, where in your life are you weak, vulnerable, hurting, in need of protection? Identify those places, offer them to her, and ask her to come help you. She will. Or maybe there's people in your life, and their faith is as weak and vulnerable as a newborn baby. Put those loved ones in the care and protection of the Blessed Mother. It'd be better if they did it themselves, but if they can't do it themselves, you do it for them. She's there at the crib. She's there at the cross, too. Now, at the cross, everybody ran away from Jesus. All of his followers, everybody who pledged, except for just a handful of people, everybody ran away. But who was there? Blessed Mother was there. Now listen. I hope this never happens to you in your life, but if it does, and there comes an hour in which everybody's abandoned you, Would you please remember that once upon a time somebody once told you, she will never, ever abandon you. She will stand by your side even when the rest of the world has run away. She will be for you what she was for Jesus. There's something mysterious about Blessed Mother, and I do not understand it. I really don't understand it, but where she's honored, the life of grace flourishes. Where she's neglected, the life of grace withers. That's how important she is. If we make it to heaven, and here's hoping that we all do, if we make it to heaven, we're going to make it for two reasons. Cross of Christ and the prayers of Blessed Mother Mary. So remember that this new year. We celebrate her feast day here at the beginning, or the virtual beginning, of a brand new year. And what a great way to start it all out. You know, because this new year, and how people are with New Year's. New Year's like a great big blank canvas, and nobody knows what's going to happen. So either we project out all of our hopes out onto that blank canvas, and we hope the sun's always going to shine and the lights are always going to be green. Or we take that same blank canvas and we project all of our worst fears out onto that. Oh no, it's coming. Oh no, it's going to be even worse. One of the two. Hope and anxiety, right? That's what New Year's Day, New Year's Eve's all. That's what it feels like. Live this day with the Blessed Mother and live this day in God's presence. Have you experienced how fast time goes? I mean, if you're my age or older, you already know, and you probably learn it a little bit more every single year. It goes faster and faster and faster, and for goodness sakes, it's frightening. I mean, the years just race on by. And after a while, doesn't it feel like a dream? I mean, the whole thing doesn't even feel real anymore. It's like, but the ethereal nature of time, the unreal, dreamy nature of time, that teaches us an important lesson, a really important lesson, namely, that you don't have a permanent home here on this earth. We are just passing through. We are pilgrims in a place of trial on our way to a land of promise. And in that sense, we're a lot like the Israelites back in the Old Testament as they made their way through the desert, right? Out of slavery, through a time of hardship and trial in the desert to a land of promise. Now, as they made their way through that land, filled with hope and filled with anxiety, God gave them a gift. And you heard it in your first reading. He gave them the gift of his own presence. He said to Moses here in the first reading, invoke my name over the people. Now, you might know this already, but in the Old Testament, they believed that when they spoke God's name, that God himself was mystically present when they did that. That's why they would never speak his name except they'd speak it once a year on Yom Kippur, and the people would press their faces to the dust, because when they spoke out God's name, God was mystically present. Very holiest word you could possibly pronounce. Well, here in the desert, God says to Moses, invoke my name on the people. Why does God say to Moses, invoke my name on the people in the desert? Because it's hard, that's why. Because they needed him, that's why. Because they were going through a land of hardship. Do you want to know what? No matter how hard things get, if you always remember God's presence, you can get through anything. We fall apart when we forget. I'm convinced of this. We fall apart in our lives when we forget God's presence. So here on the cusp of this brand new year, two things I'd ask you to keep in mind. Number one, the presence of God. Don't ever forget it. And number two, day by day, the prayers of Blessed Mother Mary, so that whether everything this year turns out roses or thorns, you're going to be able to make it. Because if God is with you, you can make it through anything. So Moses' prayer to the people, the same as my prayer to you. Okay, ready? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord let his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you kindly and give you his peace. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all this new year long.